Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, second chapter, The Lord in the Heart, text 21. Tasmad bhrubor antaram unnayita niruddha saptayatano anapikshaha sthitva muhurtardham akuntha drishtir nirbhidya murdhan vishrije param gataha. Tasmad bhrubor antaram unnayita. Tasmad bhrubor antaram unnayita. Niruddha saptayatano napiksha. Niruddha saptayatano napiksha. Sthitva muhurtardham akuntha drishtir. Sthitva muhurtardham akuntha drishtir. Nirvidha murdhan vishrijet param gatah. Nirvidha murdhan vishrijet param gatah. Tasmad bhrubor antaram unnayita. Niruddha saptayatano nadipiksha. Sthitva muhurtardham anurdha drishtir. Nirviddha murdhan vishrijet param gatah. Tasmad bhrubor antaram unnayita. Niruddha saptayatano napeksha. Sthitva muhurtardham akuntha drishtir. Nirviddha murdhan vishrijet param gatah. Tasmat, from there, bhrubaha, of the eyebrows, antaram, in between, annayeta, should be brought in, niruddha, by blocking, sapta, seven, ayotanaha, outlets of life here, anapiksha, independent of all material enjoyments. Sthitva, by keeping. Muhurta, of a moment. Ardham, half. Akuntha, back home, back to Godhead. Drishti, one whose aim is targeted like that. Nirvidya, punching, murdhan, the cerebral form, the cerebral hole, vishrijet, should give up his body, param, the supreme, gataha, having gone to, translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows and then, blocking the seven outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral pole and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Please repeat after me. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then, blocking the 7 outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The process of giving up all material connections and returning home back to Godhead, the Supreme, is recommended herein. The condition is that one should be completely freed from desires for material enjoyment. There are different grades of material enjoyments in respect to duration of life and sensual gratification. The highest plane of sensual enjoyment for the longest period of life is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9:20. All are but material enjoyments, and one should be thoroughly convinced that he has no need of such long duration of life, even in the Brahmaloka planet. He must return home back to Godhead, and must not be attracted by any amount of material facilities. In the Bhagavad Gita 2:59, it is said that this sort of material detachment is possible to attain when one is acquainted with the Supreme Association of Life. Param Drishtva Nivartate. One cannot be freed from material attraction unless he has complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. The propaganda by a certain class of impersonalists that spiritual life is void of all varieties of dangerous propaganda is to mislead the living beings into becoming more and more attracted by material enjoyments. As such, persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot have any conception of the Param, the Supreme. They try to stick to the varieties of material enjoyments, although they may flatter themselves as being Brahman-realized souls. Such less intelligent persons cannot have any conceptions of the Param, as mentioned in this verse, and therefore they cannot reach the Supreme. The devotees have full knowledge of the spiritual world, the personality of Godhead, and his transcendental association in unlimited spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. Herein, Akuntha Drishti is mentioned. Akuntha and Vaikuntha convey the same import, and only one who has his aim fixed upon the spiritual world and personal association with the Godhead can give up his material connection even while living in the material world. The Param and the Param Dham mentioned in several places in the Bhagavad Gita are one and the same thing. One who goes to the Param Dham should not return to the material world. This freedom is not possible even by reaching the topmost loka of the material world. The life air passes through 7 openings, namely 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, 2 ears and 1 mouth. Generally, it passes through the mouth at the time of an ordinary man's death. But the yogi, as above mentioned, who controls the life air in his own way, generally releases the life air by puncturing the cerebral hole in the head. The yogi therefore blocks up all the above mentioned seven openings, so that the life air will naturally burst forth through the cerebral hole. This is the sure sign of a great devotee's living the material connection. Tasmad bhugor antaram unnayeta niruddha saptayu tanana kvekshaha sthitva muhurtardham akuncha drishtir nirvidha muddhan vishrijet paramgataha. Thereafter, the bhakti yogi should push the life air up between the eyebrows, and then, blocking the seven outlets of the life air, he should maintain his aim for going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desires for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up his material connections, having gone to the Supreme. So, Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Parikshit Maharaj how one should leave his body, how one should prepare himself to quit his body. And in this chapter, he is explaining the general way of doing it, especially for the yogis. Prabhupada specifically mentioned here the bhakti yogis. There are various types of yogis. But there are the bhakti yogis who make their destination to the lotus feet of the Lord. There are other yogis, they want to through Ashtanga Yoga. Some want to go to Brahma Loka, some want to merge into impersonal Brahman, some even want to merge with the Paramatma, the Super Soul. But the yogi who is a devotee, he has his goal fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is the Akuntha or Vaikuntha Loka. In the Vaikuntha Loka, one can get the personal association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in three verses before, Prabhupada actually pointed out that this is a mechanical process. And we discussed about this mechanical process, why Prabhupada called it a mechanical process. Because body is a machine, and trying to attain the spiritual perfection through the body, through the cultivation of the body or Ashtanga Yoga, is a mechanical system. But there is another system, and that system is by engaging the body in the service of the Lord and fixing the consciousness at the lotus feet of the Lord. And that process is a lot easier than this process. But that process, or rather this, the process of fixing the mind at the lotus feet of the Lord, which means fixing the consciousness at the lotus feet of the Lord, which is known as Krishna consciousness. This direct process of Krishna consciousness was not available to the people before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, they had to follow this process, the physical process. And what is the physical process? That also is very scientific, and naturally it is an authentic process. But it's a difficult process. It's difficult because the qualification for performing Ashtanga Yoga has been explained time and time again, also in this chapter, as well as in Bhagavad Gita and in some other parts of Srimad Bhagavatam also, is that in order to practice this process, one has to go to a solitary place. One has to completely cut off from any connection with this material nature. Leave home, go to a solitary place, live alone, and then practice this process. And this process consists of 8 stages. Yam, Niyam, Asan, Pranayam, Pratyahara, Dhyan, Dharan, Samadhi. So in one, every successive one, succeeding one, is more difficult than the preceding one. Like, just to leave home, go to a solitary place, live alone, in the middle of a forest, on the bank of a river. They have to select a place like that, a river bank, because water is essential. And when there is river bank, there is some fruit trees or some root are available. So they won't have any cooked food. There is no possibility. I mean, yogi doesn't leave home to have cooked food and have a nice prasada. He survives simply on, he sustains himself simply on fruits and roots. Sometimes, and then it becomes, their practice becomes more and more severe. Ultimately, they just take leaves, not even fruits, just leaves of the tree. And we have seen, as in the case of Narad Muni and Dhruva Maharaj, they even stop taking the dry leaves, tender leaves. Also, King Bharat, when he was became a deer, he did not indulge in the delicacy of tender grass and tender leaves. He was just having dry leaves. Because the purpose is to give up all sense gratification. Give up all sense gratification. No more indulgence. So that is, mind you, that's just the beginning. Then Yam, Niyam, Asan. Asan means this. Yam is the external purification. Niyam is the internal purification. The process of Yam entails the purification of the body. Niyam is the purification of the subtle body. And then Asan, practicing different postures, so that the spirit soul can be properly situated in the body. The spirit soul that is situated in the heart, through the process of asana, it becomes properly situated in the gross body. And then comes pranayama, controlling the breathing. So this controlling of the breathing consists of 3 and different activities. Rechaka, Puraka and Kumbhaka. Exhale, inhale and retain. Retain the life air. Retain the air within the body. So we need, generally we are just doing the inhaling and exhaling. That is a general respiratory act. But a yogi keeps the air inside or keeps the air outside. Sometimes he would take the air in and hold it. Sometimes he would exhale the air and stop the breathing so that he won't take any more. In this way he would practice the pranayama. And the goal is to practically stop breathing. And Then comes pratyahara. When one has mastered pranayama, when one has mastered the controlling of the life here, then he is able to withdraw his consciousness from external nature. Pratyahara. Actually, our contact with the external nature is through our senses. External nature provides the objects of the senses, and we have our senses. And those senses are running towards the objects of the senses. Dhayate vishayan purusha. The senses are dragging the consciousness towards the objects of the senses. Dhayate vishayan purusha. Sangaste shuta jayate. Sangat sanjayate kama, kamat krodhoti jayate. This is the succession of our attachment with the material nature. The senses drag our consciousness towards the objects of the senses. Vishayani. And as a result of that, we develop association. We associate with the objects of the senses. And as a result of that, the desire develops to exploit or enjoy those objects of the senses or the objects of the material nature. So, this calm, this lust or the desire to enjoy is the most dangerous trap for a conditioned soul. So yogi knows that, so he tries to detach himself from the objects of the senses. And then only he is able to fix his mind. When the consciousness has been withdrawn from the objects of the senses or external world, material world, he is able to fix his consciousness onto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated in the heart. The purpose of yoga basically is to fix the consciousness at the heart, at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is situated there as the Super Soul. So it's a very difficult process. Very difficult process, and only actually this process was prescribed for the Satyayuga. In mass, for people in general, was the process in Satyayuga. This was the process for Satyayuga. In Treta Yuga, they lost their ability for this. Therefore, they started to. Krishna gave the process of sacrifice, yajna. This Ashtanga Yoga, another name of Ashtanga Yoga is Dhyana Yoga, meditation. So that Dhyana is meant for the living entities of Satya Yuga. But for Treta Yuga, the process was sacrifice. That's another way of detaching oneself, of sacrifice, give up. So by giving up, we also become detached. Idam Krishnaya Namama. This was meant for Krishna, not for me. So he would offer everything in the sacrifice. The ultimate aspect of sacrifice was to give up. The word sacrifice actually means that. Sacrifice. But in the age of Dwapar Yuga, people lost that ability also. Therefore, the process became even more simplified. And that process is worship the Lord. Seva Paricharja. Dwapare Paricharjayam. But in the age of Kali, people lost that ability also. Worshipping the Lord in the temple. Therefore, Kalau Sad Hari Kirtan. The process in the age of Kali is Hari Kirtan, chanting the holy name of the Lord. Preferably, congregational chanting of the holy name. But here, Sukadev Goswami is instructing Parikshit Maharaj about this process of Ashtanga Yoga. And he is pointing out that now, he is pointing out that the objective of focusing the mind is lotus feet of the Lord. And that is what he is pointing out time and time again. Fix your mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Of course, we also know that Parikshit Maharaj is a pure devotee. He was completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So much so that the Lord Himself came to save him when he was in the womb of his mother. When he didn't even develop his consciousness, the Lord took so much compassion upon him that He personally came to save him. And that also saved from Brahmastra. So Parikshit Maharaj is not an ordinary personality. He is a pure devotee of the Lord even before his birth. Parikshit Maharaj, and all his life he has been completely surrendered. And on top of that, he is a relative of the Lord. Lord's sister's son. A grandson. Krishna's sister is Subhadra. Subhadra's son is Abhimanyu. And Abhimanyu's son is Parikshit. The grandson of the Supreme Personality of God. Not only a pure devotee of the Lord, he is a relative of the Lord. So we can see that what a exalted personality he was. But at the same time, we are seeing that spiritual life is a serious business and there is no room for laxity. No matter whoever we are, we have to become very serious about our mission, about our business. And the mission is to become Krishna conscious. No matter whoever we may be, like we should be very, very serious about practicing the process. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki Jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaunikai Ki Jai. And another way of looking at it, as Prabhupada pointed out, that these great devotees of the Lord, in order to set a proper example, they act in such a way that others would also learn a very important lesson. Because Jajya Racharati Srishtas Lokastad Anubhartati. Just as a great man acts, common man follows. So, the system is very scientific and it must be followed with a proper, sincere attitude. We should never become complacent in our spiritual life, thinking that, well, I have achieved perfection, I won't have to do it. Therefore, Vaidhi Bhakti should not be given up at any stage. Even the exalted pure devotees follow the path of Vaidhi Bhakti. Why? Because That is how they are teaching others how to follow the process of devotion, service. Parikshit Maharaj could have just stayed at home because he was Krishna conscious. His mood actually was that when I was totally incapable of defending myself, the Lord protected me. So now that I have been cursed to leave this planet, to die, this also must be Lord's divine arrangement. Therefore, he was completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of God. Marobi rakhobi jo ichcha tuhara. Whether you keep me or whether you kill me, that's entirely up to you. So Parikshit Maharaj's mood was, you protected me when I was not even conscious of my existence. So you know, I know that you are there to always take care of me. So now that this curse has come, this must be also your divine arrangement. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj did not try to defend himself at all. He just decided, okay, there's no need to try to counter this curse. This curse could have been probably countered because Kashyap, the expert in snake bite, the biggest snake doctor of all time, was coming to rescue Parikshit. When he heard that Parikshit Maharaj, Kashyap is coming to bite Parikshit Maharaj, so he said, okay, I will go and I will protect the king. So while he was coming, on the way he met another person. He also was a brahmana, but it was actually Takshas in the guise of a brahmana. So they started to walk together. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going to Hastinapur. Oh, very good. Why are you going to Hastinapur? Because I heard, Kashyap said, I heard that the king is going to be beaten by Takshas, and I'm going to counteract the poison of Takshak. Then Takshak became very angry. He immediately assumed his form, a serpent with 1,000 heads. And he spat his venom onto a banyan tree by the roadside. Huge banyan tree immediately burnt into ashes. His venom, his poison was so powerful. Actually, poison is a kind of fire. It's a liquid fire. Poison is liquid fire. So, immediately burned, that poison of Takshak immediately burned the banyan tree, huge banyan tree into ashes. He said, you see, this is the power of my, this is the potency of my. So do you think you can counteract that? Kashyap didn't say anything. He just took some water from his water pot, chanted a mantra, and sprinkled the water on it, on the ashes. And immediately, the tree came back to life. So, Kashyap, very crafty, very tricky person, very tricky individual. So he convinced him, look, you may be able to counteract my poison, but you won't be able to counteract the brahmana's curse. So you better go back. I will give you a whole lot of wealth. So the serpents have jewels on their heads. So he gave him some priceless jewels. Then Kashyap also considered that maybe I won't be able to counteract the curse of the brahmana. So he left.
So he could have, Parikshit Maharaj, if he tried, he could have made some arrangement to counteract the curse of the Brahmana, Sringi. But he didn't try to do that. That's the mood of a devotee. He doesn't want to defend himself. He knows the Lord is the supreme controller and whatever he wants, that will be. If he wants us to die, let's die. What's the loss? What is death? Death means losing the body. But when you know that we are not this body, we are spirit soul, so what's the big loss if we have to lose this body, and especially when this body is old and dilapidated, infected with diseases, and so that is the mood of a devotee. And Parikshit Maharaj was instructed by Sukadeva Goswami about the general process of Ashtanga Yoga. And what is the purpose? The purpose of Ashtanga Yoga is to detach the soul from the body. Let the life air rise. As we become attached to the material nature, our life energy or our consciousness goes towards matter. And when our consciousness goes towards matter, then our entire endeavors also becomes projected onto matter. But a devotee tries to withdraw himself from this material attention. Withdraw the consciousness from material attention. Yogi does that with the through the process of Ashtanga Yoga. That's one way of doing it. But as Prabhupada mentioned, it's a mechanical process. Therefore it's a very difficult process. We are not capable of doing that. Therefore, that process hasn't been prescribed for us. But one important thing to consider is that it will happen. It will happen automatically. A yogi does it mechanically, with a devotee, it happens automatically. As our consciousness rises, let us not even consider rising. As our consciousness becomes attached to Krishna, automatically our consciousness is withdrawn from matter. And as the consciousness is withdrawn from matter, this rising of the life air, as it has been described in the previous verse, the six chakras. So the six chakras, it automatically rises through the chakras. And then finally it comes to the Brahmarandra, or which is now, according to the yogic term, it is called Sahasrara, thousand petaled lotus, the brain center. But there are two lotuses. One is the thousand petaled lotus in the brain center, and there is another center in the body, another lotus, that is the lotus in the heart. And what is that lotus in the heart? The lotus in the heart is the spiritual sky, the abode of the Supreme Personality of God. The abode of the Supreme Lord is there. The Lord is there in the heart. So along with Him, His abode is also there. And through devotional service, we become aware of that abode. the yogis, they try to live their body through the brain center. But the devotee lives with a pure. There is a difference between here also. Another thing we have to remember. Prabhupada is pointing out here about the bhakti yogis. And the another type of devotees are pure devotees, Shuddha Bhaktas. The bhakti yogis, they are devotees, but they are depending upon the process of yoga. But a pure devotee is simply surrendered to the Lord, and he is his way of connecting to the Lord or being connected to the Lord is through chanting the holy name and by rendering devotional service. He also uses the body naturally. He has the body, so he also has to use the body. But how does he use the body? He uses the body simply by rendering service to the Lord. Therefore, again, our process is not to go to a solitary place and sit down and practice the yoga. Our system is, wherever we are, render devotional service. Wherever we are, our business is simply to render devotional service, whether in the forest or in the middle of a city, or whether in a calm and quiet atmosphere of a temple or in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Wherever we are, our business is to serve the desire of the Supreme Personality of God. Our objective is to give pleasure to the Lord by rendering devotional service unto Him. So that is the process that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us, and so mercifully Srila Prabhupada has distributed all over the world. And the result will be the same. Actually, not the result will be the same. The result of rendering pure devotional service is even greater than this process. Because the goal of this process is Vaikuntha. The ultimate goal, they can be, as I mentioned, like through Ashtanga Yoga, one can go to different destinations. Like, generally the yogis try to go to the higher planetary system. Generally. Therefore, they leave their body during the time of Uttarayan, when the sun moves on the northern hemisphere, and by leaving the body through the Archiradi passage, they go to the higher planetary systems. They can go up to Brahmaloka. Those who are even more advanced, they would like to go to Brahma Jyoti, which is beyond Brahmaloka, beyond Satyaloka. Those who are even more advanced, they would like to attain their perfection by developing their relationship with the Super Soul. And when that relationship is established properly, they are elevated to Vaikuntha Loka. Super Soul in the heart is Vishnu. And Vishnu is Narayan. Narayan is in Vaikuntha. So, Super Soul is Super Soul because he is just watching us. When the Lord is in our heart and watching us, how we are acting, and he is a witness of our activities, and he is a sanctioner of our desires, Upadrashta and Anumanta, then he is Super Soul. But when one develops his relationship with him, then the Lord reciprocates, and that becomes, then he assumes his Narayan form. He becomes the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, and allows him to develop a relationship with him. And the destination, the ultimate destination, is Vaikuntha. But our goal is beyond Vaikuntha. Our goal is Golok Vrindavan. Our goal is Vrindavan. One cannot reach Vrindavan by Ashtanga Yoga or by Devotee. The Vrindavan can be achieved only, or we can reach Vrindavan only through the chanting of the holy name of the Lord, Sankirtan. Becoming completely absorbed in rendering devotional, loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This point has been very wonderfully explained by Srila Sanatan Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gop Kumar reached Vaikuntha. He went all the way to Dwarka. He was associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The queens of Dwarka were bestowing their endless mercy upon him. They were treating him just like their son. But still Gop Kumar was not happy there. Narad Muni saw that Gop Kumar is not fully content even in Dwarka, spiritual Dwarka. And he asked, what's the matter with you? And then Gop Kumar admitted that my heart is yearning for a young boy who tends cows, who has a peacock feather on his head, and he is playing in his flute, and his flute is so sweet, the sound of his flute is so attractive that I lost all interest for anything else. Even my residence in Dwarka doesn't satisfy me. So Narad Muni then told him, I can see that your attachment is to the Lord in Vrindavan. But in order to go to Vrindavan, you have to go back to the earth planet. In Vrindavan, in the earth planet, and there you have to perform Sankirtan. And by performing Sankirtan, you'll be able to achieve that destination. And Gop Kumar did that. He came back to Vrindavan and he started to chant the holy name of the Lord. Hey Govinda, Hey Gopal, with all the love of his heart. And as a result of that, in course of time, one day he found himself in Vrindavan. He fainted. He saw Krishna. One day he just saw Krishna in Vrindavan. And as soon as he saw, he just ran to catch him. And he almost caught him. He caught the end of his chadar, but it slipped out and Krishna disappeared behind the bush. And Gop Kumar fainted. His condition was like a person who achieved an inconceivable wealth and then he lost it. So getting Krishna and then losing him like that, he became so heartbroken that he fainted and he rolled down into the river, Jamuna. And then when he regained his consciousness, in his half-conscious state, he felt that he was being transported in some vehicle at tremendous speed. He was moving. And then he found himself in Vrindavan. This is how he entered into Vrindavan by the mercy of the Lord.
So that is the gift that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, an access to Golok Vrindavan, which is rare otherwise, practically impossible. Therefore, it has been described as it's rare even for Lord Brahma. Shiva Virinchinutam, it's even rare for Lord Shiva, this ultimate destination of Golok Vrindavan. But it is available by the mercy of the Lord when he comes as a devotee. And that is the inconceivable, incomparable mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that is why he is Mahavadanya. And the devotees, just by following that process, will achieve all perfection. Mahaprabhu said, Iha hoite sarvasiddhi hoibe tomar. That is the point I was trying to come to. That why Sukadev Goswami is describing all these gradual developments, through elevating through the six chakras, closing the seven gates, and then letting the spirit soul leave through the Brahmarandra or the cerebral hole. Because for a devotee, it will automatically happen, naturally happen. The yogis, by detaching themselves from matter, they make their consciousness rise through different chakras, or life air rise through different chakras. By detaching from matter, they achieve this goal. Whereas for a devotee, by being attached to Krishna, they achieve that goal. Is this the same thing? Detaching from matter is one way, and being attached to Krishna is actually the other side of the same coin. So we don't have to detach ourselves from matter. We simply have to become attached to Krishna. And through this attachment, all will be achieved. And that's the assurance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Iha hoite sarvasiddhi hoibe tomar. You will achieve all perfections by following this process of chanting the holy name. Now the consideration is, which one is a more appropriate way? Through detachment or through attachment? Now, let's put it this way. Between positive and negative, which is the more positive way? The detachment is the next. By the term itself is negative. Whereas attachment is the positive way and the easier way. We don't have to detach, but we become attached to Krishna. And that attachment to Krishna has been described here as param drishva nivartate. Getting the higher taste, one naturally gives up the lower taste. You develop your higher taste and automatically you give up the lower taste. You don't have any taste for the lower things. A child eats mud. It's dirt. It takes while playing, sometimes it takes. Like Krishna also did. And Balaram and the cowherd boys come. Actually, Balaram complained to Mother Jashoda. Today Krishna was eating mud. So sometimes they do that. Babies. But when the child gets the taste of a sweet,
then he doesn't have any taste for the mind.
So that is the meaning of Param Drishta. In the material nature, people are attracted to all kinds of mundane activities. They are attracted to all kinds of sinful activities. Why? Because there is some pleasure in it. There is some pleasure in it. Therefore they are attracted. But when they get the higher taste of Krishna consciousness, they automatically lose the lower taste. So the goal of life is actually to get the higher taste. Then it is natural. Otherwise it's going to be artificial. We have seen so many times people try to give up their bad habits. They want to give, those who smoke cigarettes, it's such a big thing for them to give up cigarettes. Those who take drugs, so difficult for them to give up drugs. But for a devotee, one may be a drug addict, but when he becomes a devotee, easy for him to give up. Because here he gets the higher taste. When getting the higher taste, he doesn't have any attraction for the lower taste anymore. A hungry man will eat anything that comes on his way. Rotten, stinking food. Because he's hungry, he wants food, so he will get whatever he eats, whatever he finds. But a person who has nice big plate of Mahaprasad, will he even look at some rotten food? He won't even look at it. Take it away. Who wants it? So that is our nature. When you get the higher taste, we give up the lower taste. And Krishna consciousness provides the highest taste. Because Krishna consciousness is a matter of enjoyment, taste, rasa vaisa. Krishna is the source of all enjoyment. Connection to Krishna means full of joy. And joy means relishing. Joy doesn't mean suffering. Joy is not deprivation. Deprivation can never lead us to joy. Joy means indulgence. Indulgence, to enjoy. And what do we enjoy? We enjoy rasas, mellows, different mellows. So that is the most positive way, and that is the most rewarding way. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has given us. And compared to that, everything else becomes secondary. Koivalla narakayate. Liberation appears to be like going to hell. People endeavor for lives after lives to attain liberation. But when one gets this state, when one gets this Krishna consciousness, liberation appears to be like going to hell. Koivalla narakayate. And the position of Indra in heavenly planet appears to be like, the position of Indra and Brahma appears to be like a pie in the sky. Kha pushpayate. Their position is like a pie in the sky. Who wants to go for a pie in the sky? Because it's not existent. It's meaningless actually. So this is how wonderful this process of Krishna consciousness actually is. So Mahaprabhu assured that from just follow this process and everything will be achieved.
Nothing will remain unfulfilled. Everything, all your desires will be fulfilled. All your desires that will lead to real enjoyment will be perfectly fulfilled. Don't worry about it. So Krishna consciousness is a process of perfect enjoyment. And our austerity is no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, and no gambling. Our austerity is to give up the bad things in life. That is the only austerity. Otherwise, it's full of joy, full of enjoyment. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. Srila Prabhupada ki. Does anybody have any question or comment? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. Lord Krishna says, Manmana Bhava, Manbhakto, always think of me. But the conditioned souls, they're thinking of wife, husband, children, mother, father, all these relationships, so deep rooted. So, yes, you think of Krishna, automatically everything goes, but the mind, it won't allow us to think of Krishna because we have so many other relationships, attachments. So what to do in that case?
Thank you, Maharaj. Very nice question. Mind will naturally think of wife, children, father, mother, friends, enemies. But Sankirtan means see everything in relation to Krishna. My father is a servant of Krishna. My mother is a maid servant of Krishna. So in this way, all our relatives can be Krishna conscious. I mean, Krishnaized. And as by doing that, like we are thinking of the father, thinking of the mother, we can think, how to engage my father in the service of Krishna? Or if my father is serving Krishna, how can I help him to serve Krishna? So in this way, everything can be made into Krishna consciousness. To make this point a little more clear, we can say, like I may be attached to something. Now, if I use it in Krishna's service, I'm maintaining my attachment. At the same time, I'm being Krishna conscious. Right? There is no, in Krishna consciousness, we don't need to give up anything. We simply have to engage everything in Krishna's service, and by doing that, we are actually becoming Krishna conscious. We are becoming manmana. Krishna Mukh. And also, the ultimate consideration is that, Krishna is watching us. And when Krishna sees that we are sincerely trying to use everything in glorifying Him, using everything to please Him, then He becomes pleased and He says, here is a sincere soul who really wants to serve me. So Krishna makes the arrangement to bring us close to Him. And ultimately when it comes to thinking about Krishna, you see, once we get to see Krishna, our mind is not going to go anywhere else. Because He's so attractive that the mind will automatically become fixed at Him. It's only a matter of, having that good fortune. So gradually it will happen, or as I can say, as you practice the process, it happens. We become more and more Krishna conscious, mind becomes more and more absorbed in serving Krishna, thinking of Krishna. Thank you. Any other question? Yes, Krishna Chan.
Guru Maharaj, you mentioned how just by developing our attachment to Krishna, we can give up material attachments. But the stage of developing attachment to Krishna, the stage of having attachment to Krishna is also suffer a neophyte to a certain extent far off. So, in that stage, one may require to practice certain, in the Vaidhi Bhakti, to practice certain norms of detachment and regulation and discipline and etc. So, that also involves, in that stage, one, these things like, the yogic processes may to some extent or to a large extent help him fix his mind, and protect it from getting deviated to other things. So, how far do we have to take those things?
Yeah, there are the things that are conducive to develop our attachment to Krishna. We accept that. But obviously, yoga process is not one of them. Our processes are, we begin with, take Krishna prasad. Right? That's the beginning. Associate with the devotees. Right? These are the things that give us the taste. Go out and preach. Go out and distribute books. And, this is how, these are the processes that fixes us in Krishna consciousness. The process with yoga is actually, you see, yoga develops a subtle body. And if the gross body is not fit enough to accommodate the subtle body, one will fall down. So that's why yoga is generally not discussed. At least Prabhupada did not. Once I asked Prabhupada, can I practice asana? I used to do some asana before. Prabhupada said, what's the use? And I was trying to explain why. Prabhupada just said, no. Like every reason I gave, Prabhupada just rejected it. And when actually the purpose I told him was because I was serving Prabhupada in Bombay. We are just in Prabhupada's quarters the whole day and whole night. And there was no exercise. The body was, I used to feel a little. Then Prabhupada said, go to the ocean and take a bath. Go for a swim in the ocean. When I told him that I'm not getting any exercises, he said, go to the ocean and have a swim. So if you have to make your body active, then keep it active. And another thing Prabhupada actually suggested as a means of, keeping the body fit is fasting. Prabhupada himself showed that. He would fast. He fasted for 2 months, hardly took anything. And later on I realized, the benefit of fasting. That fasting is actually exercise in the mode of goodness. Going to the gym and roughing it out is the exercise in the mode of passion. And sleeping is the exercise in the mode of You see, why fasting is such a good exercise? What is actually exercise? What makes our body function? Like body is a machine. How does a machine run? The machines generally run through combustion. Most of the machines are internal combustion engines. Right? There is a burning process. The internal combustion and external combustion. Like railway engine, the external combustion. You put the coal and it burns and it generates the energy through the steam and that makes the wheels move. So it's a burning process. right? You put the food and then it burns and energy is generated in the body. Now, when the body becomes sick, what actually happens, the fire becomes weak. It cannot burn. When it's weak, it cannot actually burn the fuel. So when the fire has become weak and it cannot burn the fuel, what is the intelligent thing to do? Don't give any fuel to the fire. Right? And when the fire doesn't get the fuel, then it'll burn. Too much fuel causes the fire to become extinguished. So what, through exercise, what we do? We increase the fire. Right? When you go to a gym and rough it out, actually the fire gets worked up. But when you don't give food to the fire, that's another way that the fire will become ablaze. And as a result of that, what will happen? Yeah, another thing exercise does is when the fire becomes intense, then it burns the impurities of the body. Right? So when you fast and the fire becomes ablaze, then it also burns out the impurities of the body. So that's why we have this system of fasting. But Prabhupada said that this fasting should be done in a systematic way, on auspicious days, on Ekadasis. And if you want to extend them, like you can also fast on the full moon and new moon. There is no opportunities to fast. Not only the appearance days of the Lord, but there are also the appearance and disappearance days of the devotees of the Lord. If you look at the calendar, then you get practically 365 days and occasion to fast. But the objective should be, we should fast for a purpose, to give pleasure to the Lord, not to activate our body, not for the benefit of the body, but for the pleasure of the Lord. Yes, Sitaram. Yeah. When somebody is hungry and comes to the village, that was the point. But that doesn't mean that in the village Gopinath was allowing others to observe Ekadasi and Janmashtami fast. The Lord said that, and actually, you see, in the Lord's kingdom, no one fasts. Unless he, takes a vow of fasting on some special occasion, that the Lord approves. But generally, like you go to a holy place, even if you want to fast, you can't fast. Did you ever go to Parikrama in Vrindavan? In that area, you will see when you're doing parikrama, people, village people will come and ask, please come and take some prasad. Maybe simple prasad, some chapati and dal and sabji. But they are so eager to feed you. And they're simple village people, they're not very wealthy. But they're so generous, so kind. And that's what Krishna consciousness does to you. Thank you. Yes.
consciousness, but from the scholars,
we
can conclude after hearing the last part of the scholars that the application of this Krishna consciousness process is a process of attaining happiness also. But we find that sometimes after practicing Krishna consciousness for 10 years, 5 years, 20 years, 40 years, no matter how long, some devotees may not be happy yet. We know that, I had a lecture by Ravindra Surupra, which says, there's nothing wrong with the application, there's nothing wrong with the process of the application. So, how do we find out where we're going wrong in the application, and how do we correct this, become happy?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Like, the disease is there, medicine is there, and if I take the medicine and disease doesn't cure, then we have to understand that something is wrong with the application. And oftentimes, if the medicine is genuine and still it does not cure the disease, we have to understand that while taking the medicine, we are doing something that is actually increasing the purpose of, that is actually provoking the disease. It's not, instead of curing it. So that is where we have to see whether, and that's why we have to follow the process. Like, the chanting of the holy name is the process. So this is actually the cure for the disease. This is the medicine. Right? And the disease is suffering in the material nature. Our existence in the material nature, right, which is caused by our attachment to the material nature and attachment for sense gratification, is the disease. And the disease is causing suffering. Disease is suffering, right? The result of a disease is suffering. So we are suffering because we are in the material nature, trying to exploit the material nature for sense gratification. So, and the medicine is the holy name of the Lord. So when we take the medicine, and still the disease is not getting cured, we are, instead of experiencing joy, we are continuing to suffer in this material nature. Like our mind is distressed, our consciousness is poor, and so in that state we have to understand that there must be something wrong in the application of that medicine. That means we are chanting not without committing offenses. Our chanting is offensive chanting. We are not following the four regulative principles properly. Because that's the first criteria actually for curing ourselves from the disease. Right? So follow the four regulative principles, chant the holy name without committing offenses. Rest will automatically. The medicine will take care of the disease. Right? It's not that you will get cured of the disease and then you'll apply the medicine. Do you do that? Do you say that I'll first get cured and then I'll take the medicine? No. The medicine will cure the disease. Okay?
Prabhupada is stating that yogis they close all their gates, like the mouth and the ear nostrils, and they just release their life through cerebral hole. So for a devotee, through bhakti can we do also the same?
Okay, yeah, good point. I thought of it also, thought of addressing that point, but I forgot. You see, pure devotional service and mundane activity apparently appears to be alike, but they are diametrically opposed. Right? Now, ordinary people leave their body through their mouth, generally. Sinful people actually leave their body through their lower holes. Like I remember one person, you know, when her father actually died, and when he left his body, he passed too. And she was devastated. She saw that, how real it is. That means, he left his body through his penis. And so, this is how, how it happens. Now, ordinary people generally, they leave their body through their mouth. Now, materialistic activity and devotional service appears to be alike, but they're diametrically opposed. Devotee generally leaves his body chanting the holy name of the Lord through his mouth. We personally saw how Prabhupada left his body. So that is the thing about a pure devotional service. Pure devotees, bhakti yogis may leave their body. This is, Prabhupada is talking about the bhakti yogis. This description is about the yogis. So they may leave their body through their cerebral hole. Because their understanding is, their objective is going to the higher plane, higher region. But a devotee's objective is simply to please the Lord, sing His glory, and render devotional service. So yes, a devotee leaves his body through his mouth, chanting the holy name of the Lord. How did Haridas Thakur leave his body? Fixing his eyes at the lotus face of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, chanting the holy name of the Lord, he left his body. So isn't that the perfection? So for us, the perfection is actually leave the body chanting the holy name of the Lord. Okay, so I'll stop now. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur.